The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Seeking something special this morning from the Lord. Is someone looking for God to move on their behalf and make a difference in your life? And let me tell you, let me encourage you to know that He can and He does and He's willing to help those in need this morning. And though we go through this difficult season that we're in, and it seems like there's so much uncertainty and there's so much fear and doubt rolling all around the land, and all this lack of truth, I get you pointed right back here, that here's where you find truth. And I'm glad that those are watching this morning. I pray that you're well. But if you're not well, we're praying for you and expecting God to do a great work in your life, that you would be able to be here at the River. We're praying for you. We're wanting to see your life change and something happen in your life, would God would move and open up a door. Amen, church? We have people that are in need of prayer right now and going through heartache and different situations. And as light shiners, hello, are you firing up your lamps and keeping your oil lit with the oil, with the Word of God, because we're called to be that light in this dark world. We're not called to add more doubt and fear. We're called to be encouragers in the Word of God and lift up. And I want to do that today. I want to encourage you today that as we all go through a walk together, how many of you know it's good to have some people encourage you in your walk? Amen? How many... You know enough people that are putting you down every week, right? Saying you're not this, you're not this. And it's good to have some brothers and sisters lift each other up this morning. And as we do that, I pray that those listening this morning would be blessed, because I miss them. I want to see them here. Not to have the biggest church, but I want them to feel what we felt this morning. Amen? I want to see the fellowship of one another this morning. I pray that you're wanting to get something out of this morning, and we're not just going through the motions. Amen. I know people that are in their Christian walk, they're just going through the motions, and I want to encourage you to get fired up, because we've been talking about on a long series, and how many of you, I hope some of you have gotten from when I've ministered last, because we've talking about in Psalms 51 where it says, When David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew me in a steadfast spirit. And that's part, we talked about coming back to the Father's house. We talked about getting right, getting restored with God. That's been the message. That's been my walk this year. That's what I've my prayer time. And now is God, we're getting that fire back. How many of you want to ignite that fire, and you have this pulse about you? You have this look about you that says, you've been with Jesus. I can tell you've been with Jesus. I would hope that you and I would want to be those men and women of God that say, there's something different about you now. Mm-hmm. Right? You're talking different. You're speaking different. You're looking different. You're acting different. What's different about you? You've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. And you're encouraging people. You're not speaking fear and doubt. Amen. You're not swayed by the waves and the wind of this world anymore, because you're saying, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to believe in the Word of God. I'm not the same person as I used to be. I know that I messed up. I got it. But I'm no longer the same as who I used to be. How many can say amen? Amen. I'm different than somebody. They may put you down and say, well, I remember what you did. Uh-uh. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Did I do those things? Okay. But I've been washed. I've been restored. I've been renewed. I'm a new creation now. I'm walking different. I'm looking different. I'm talking different. Amen? I'm believing the Word of God. I'm in my prayer time. I'm reading the Word of God. I'm listening to the tapes. I'm listening to this. I'm studying. I'm doing something different. Amen? I'm gonna do this. Something different now. I'm not the same as I used to be. Do I have more to go? Absolutely. Do I have a walk ahead of me? Absolutely. But I've turned from that stuff. My scales have come off. I'm walking anew. I've decided for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going this way, whether you want to go with me or not. I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to do something great for Jesus now. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be an encourager. That's why I love Pastor Glenn. Man, he encourages me all the time. When I'm on my ups and my downs and my waves and my valleys, and you get a hold of him, and he just starts talking to you, and he'll bless your socks off, you know. Even if I get thinking I'm a little bit of a bucket of chicken, I just realize that, you know, he just encouraged me and helping me. Amen. You know how he does? He just got something about him. He just wants to bless you and help you, encourage you in your walk. And I'm like, you know what? That's a pretty good example. I'm thinking I'm going to learn from a mighty man of God. I think I need to get in this word, and I need to allow this word to encourage me and lift me up. And not only as it lifts me up, I should do and go and do likewise. Right. Amen? Amen. The Samaritan, when he saw the person in the ditch going through, he was different than the priest and the Levite. The priest and Levite said, "Yeah," looked at him and kept on going. Right? There was eye contact, no change, no compassion. Nothing stirred them in their spirit to create a difference in the person's life. How about you and I? When we see somebody hurting, we see somebody going through tough times, if we don't feel a compassion for one another, I think we need to go back to this word and say, "Oh God, create in me a clean heart, a pure heart that says I want." If I'm not feeling the compassion for people, yellow flag. Hello? If you're not feeling the compassion when you see someone going through hurt, when you see someone going through stuff, and there's no longer a compassion in you, problem. Problem. Create in me a clean heart, God. And what did the Samaritan do? The Samaritan had the bandages, had the oil, and helped them. And we should be about the Father's business and going and do likewise. Because who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Amen? We should go and do likewise. So if you will, turn with me into the Word this morning. And we're going to go into another psalm. We're going to jump start from another psalm this morning. And go with me into Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I'll give you a second to get there. How many of you have ever heard this old saying that's not necessarily true, but I've heard it my whole life, and people would say, "God helps them who help themselves." How many of you heard that? Yeah. Yeah. Title this message, if there's such a thing as I put titles, and in my Bible it jumped off the page. It says, "God, the help of those who seek Him." Those who seek Him. God will help those who seek Him. Hello? Too many times in my life, I've turned my eye looking at everything else, looking at every direction except God. And I know people in this community, in this state, in this country, that will do everything but seek God, but they claim they're Christian. They say they're saved, but yet God is last end of the day, not first of the day, first in prayer, first going on. And I have to ask you, what and who is first in your life? It's a challenging, convicting kind of question because it sets the stage today when we're talking about getting back to the Father's house. It talks about getting right with God. It talks about having compassion on people. It talks in the direction of having that look. It talks in the direction of who's first in your life. Where do you turn? Do you have that look? Do you have that steadfast spirit? Because too often I would waver in my faith and I would be challenged in those things. Are you here? Amen? Who's first? in here in Psalm 121 and 1. Psalm 121 and 1 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? In other words, where does my help come from? From where comes my help? It's a good question to ask today, because getting back to the Father's house and getting back right with God and being on a steadfast spirit, this question may pop up in your life just like it did the writer. Where does my help come from? Where does your help come? When you're going through struggles of life and things are going on, who do you turn to? Do you turn to work and problems and family and all those? And all those are good. But can I get your focus and your eyes on Jesus today? Remember, I've been talking here recently about sharing your faith. Amen? I've been talking a message and how Paul shared his faith, and he was talking with King Agrippa, and he said, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Well, guess what? I'm right back at it. I'm not giving up on those that I need to persuade and convince to become a Christian, to get their eyes off their problems and get their eyes on Jesus. Amen? And for those of you that have already made your decision for Jesus Christ and you are a Christian, I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus, because we look to the hills. We may look to the problems. We may look to the waves. But as I said this morning, I want to get your eyes a little higher than that. Hello? Don't worry, the Lord's been working on me on this too. Amen? When I see the problems in life, when I see the COVID junk, and I see the stuff on the news, and I see all the stuff, am I distracted by what I'm seeing, or do I lift my eyes just a little bit higher and understand who is my helper? Who is my provider? Who is my healer? Who is my way maker? You see, whatever problem you have, when you get your eyes above your problems and get your focus on Jesus and understand that He is your help, He is your way maker. Amen? Come on, church. I'm going to get you excited this morning, because as Christians, we got to remind ourselves, encourage ourselves, because all of us see the storms. All of us see the waves. All of us see the headaches. All of us see the allergies, all the different problems that we have. We all see the COVID junk. We all see the things going on in the world. But where does our help come from? When it gets right down to it, when you're talking about this steadfast spirit, because I'm going to tell you, I've been challenged in my life when the storms and the waves come. Do I keep my eyes up here, or do I keep my eyes down at the level of where my problems are, only to get and see how big the waves are? I see how big the hills are. I see how big the challenges are. And then God reminds me, saying, get your eyes a little higher. Come on. Renew that steadfast spirit you once had. You know you had it. Now get them eyes up a little higher and get walking for me and seeking me and praising me and lifting and having faith and stirring up the faith around, say, God's going to get us through this. Instead of, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, it's me. All right. No. I want to encourage you today, because I sometimes get in those little valleys. And each one of us sometimes get in those little valleys. And that's when you got to put that baby in four-wheel drive and get those tires spinning. And even if you need a tow rope or two, we'll hook up and we'll pull through this situation. Amen? Where comes my help? Verse 2. My help comes from the Lord. Amen, Christian? My help comes from the Lord. So you're going through a tough time right now. Know that your help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. who made heaven and earth. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty big God. You mean he made all this? He made all the seas? You go back into Genesis in the beginning. Hello? Right. Who made the heaven and earth? Who made you? You think he can't heal you? He owns everything. You think he can't get money to you? He created the very job you're going after, so you think he can't put you into that position? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Verse 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. You mean I can call him in the middle of the night? Yeah. You mean when you can't sleep and the thoughts and the crazy things are going on in your brain, it's 2 in the morning, you mean you can call upon God? Yes. Please call upon him. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. You can find peace and rest even in the midnight hours. Hallelujah. Ah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. He preserves you. He helps you. Who? The Lord. Amen? I may remember, I've been telling you, get used to the words. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything yet? I hope you're encouraged. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Oh, do any of you remember Psalms 91 and 1? He's your shade. He's your protector. He who dwells in the secret place. Oh, we've been talking about that. If you haven't heard those messages, those that aren't on the outskirts or I guess I'm going to have to read. Let me read it. We got to go to it. You're going to get a bonus. Here we go. He who dwells in the secret place, Psalm 91:1. He who dwells, where are you dwelling at today? Are you on the edges? Have you drifted? Have you pulled yourself away? Or, Christian, are you in the covering? Are you in the centering? Because he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hello? The shadow of the Almighty. What you want to talk about, the safest place that you can ever be is under his wings, under his covering, and his protection. Can I encourage you to lift up your eyes and get yourself in position with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today? Can I persuade you to get back into church? Can I persuade you to get back in your word? Can I persuade you to get back in the word of God? Can I persuade you to get in prayer? Because in those things is where you're going to find yourself in the center of his will, in the secret place of what I call your safe place. Amen? Let the storms come. Hello? Let the waves come. Let problems hit. And they will. Don't let any preacher tell you that everything is all peaches and cream and ice cream and blackberries like I had yesterday. That everything is all wonderful and peaches. Like everything is all like them great big blackberries I got from just some lovely people yesterday. Those things, let me tell you, are yummy goodness. You know, and I can't wait. I cannot wait to make the pie for the pie filling of those yummy blackberries. Wouldn't it be nice if life was always like that? Just peaches and cream and blackberries and strawberries and ice cream. You know, wouldn't that be just great? But how many of you realize, have gotten mature enough to know, we go through stuff. But this word confirms and tells us that he will protect us. In these following verses, it will confirm and say that he is our helper, our protector. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Listen, you got 24/7 coverage. In the middle of the night, in the middle of the day, when the sun's shining, when it's raining out, when it's storming out, when the wind's blowing like it blew this week, who is your protector? Now, granted, it's very much true. I took the cautions, and I got in my crawl space. Hallelujah. But don't think I wasn't praying while I was in my crawl space. I do what I can do, and I trust in the Lord what he can do. I didn't have a tree come down this week. Praise the Lord is right, because I've had trees come down. I've had roof garages come apart. When you pray and the storm seemed to got worse and south but didn't come near you. Hello? We may have been without some power. Got it. Still living. You're still fine. Still breathing. Still praising the Lord. Amen. You may go through inconveniences in the storm, right? We may have some things, troubles, but know that he's your protector through the day and through the night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Hello? Are we still believing that today? Because all the unbelief and the doubt and the fear will come in and affect this word and get us stirred up, and we've got to get our eyes up higher, get our eyes on this word, and remember the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm already seeing some words here in the law of much mention. Preserve you, keep you, help you. Hello? Get a hold of it today. Next verse. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen? I don't know about you, but that encourages me today. That encourages me to know and remind us that, listen, the Lord preserves us. Not just once, not just twice. 6 times in this psalm. I think the Lord's trying to tell us something today. I think the Lord is trying to remind us in these turbulent times, and we are in perilous times, are we not? We are in some of the most perilous times I've ever seen in my life. I've never went through any of these silly stuff like we're going through. These riots and junk. People hurting people for no reason. Oh, let me bring this back up. Are you still convinced that everybody goes to heaven? I've been saying this for months. And it confirms the word of God, because there's hate and there's evil. And God is a righteous God. He's a righteous judge. He cannot allow that evil into such a wonderful place as heaven. There is a heaven and a hell. And if you don't repent of your sins, hello? It's in the word. It's in the word. And that's not the heart of the message today. But it's in the word, because there is a distinction being made, and you're seeing it in 2020. We talked about it, you know. If 2020 has taught us anything, that we need God more than ever. Oh, if we could just get people to see, you need Jesus. We're not condemning. We're not trying to hurt you. We're not trying to pick on you, anything. We need to tell people, get your eyes on Jesus, because these times are challenging. We're in some stormy seas right now. The Bible talked about there's going to be perilous times, so if the Bible said it, you might as well just prepare for it. But know that you have a keeper. Know that you have a helper. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? You know, as Christians, I'm going to tell you, let me just put it back to me instead of we. How's that? Is that better? It's better when it says me, right? There I go. I go getting transparent again about me. But you know, we say this and we read this word and we have all these scriptures, and it really boils down to our relationship with Jesus. Each one of you have your own walk to walk. And I can't put you down and judge you and be critical. All I can do is use this platform and read this word and use this resource. You listen to me by the radio. You watching me today by Facebook. All I can do is try to encourage you in the same manner that someone encouraged me, to get my eyes on Jesus and get in this word and be encouraged to know where my help comes from. Because you're the one, when you're in the trenches, when you're going through lack, when you're going through problems, We're not supposed to go through lack. We're supposed to be the head and not the tail. We're supposed to be above and not beneath. Wherever I put my feet, I'm blessed. When I speak life and not death. The words that I speak, I can't speak blessings and cursings and expect to walk in the shadow of the Almighty. When I start speaking cursings and death, I'm hovering on the edges of that. But when I have control of this tongue and I speak life and I speak encouragement, I speak blessings, and that's what we can do for each other and what I want to do with you today. The Lord has impressed on me this morning in prayer time to encourage you in this walk. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? Right? There's so much negativity in this world right now in trying to get your eyes off of Jesus. There's so many things blowing around in the wind that tries to get us off course with Jesus. And I stand before you as one who has been led off course sometimes with Jesus. My doubt became greater than my faith, it seems like. My fears became greater that hurt, encouraged my, how can I say it? My fears produced doubt, and my doubt was against faith. That make any sense? I allowed the fears and the doubts to overcome the faith that I had, thus putting me in a difficult situation because I had to remind myself to keep that renewed, steadfast spirit to have my eyes on Jesus. And it can happen to any one of us, any one of you watching that grew up in church and has basically slid away or drifted outside the covering of God, and there's not that compassion anymore. There's not that fire, that burning log, if you will, that hot coal, if you will, that stirs people up, and people say, I know that you've been with Jesus. If they can't say that about you anymore, who moved? You know what I'm saying? Because I have to check myself. When David was saying, create in me a pure heart, he was checking himself and go, am I really where I should be? Am I really on fire for God? Or am I like that guy and that the father who said, I believe, but help my unbelief? Right here. God, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me to get my eye. Help me to lift my eyes up a little higher. Teach me, Lord. Have patience with me. You're going to leave me up here all by myself this morning. Amen? Right? Where you're like, because we're all people and we're all growing, and each one has their own growth with God, and you're going through your own trials. And the Bible says, count it all joy when you go through various trials. And you're like, really? I didn't want to go through any trials. I didn't want to go through any tests. But how many of you know that that's what produces perseverance? That's what the Bible says. That sometimes we go through tests and things in life that actually helps propel us to the next level. Oh. Sometimes the tests and things that I had to go through was simply an avenue that allowed me to take another step up, because the steps of the righteous man, oh, I'm just giving you some bonus nuggets. I need my notes. The steps of a righteous man are what? Ordered of the Lord. So maybe each one of us have had to go through our own tests and valleys and mountains, only to find ourselves getting our eyes lifted up and strengthened as we've come back to the Father's house, as we've gotten renewed, we're sharing our faith, we're encouraging one another, but no, and now we look back and we go, all right, Lord, okay, I surrender. I'm learning. You're working on me. You know, it's one thing to feel like you're in the blacksmith shop or the potter's wheel when you're going through it. But when you're all through it and you look back on your life, you're like, God, you were there, and I probably didn't see it. God, you were there, and I probably didn't see it, but now I was blind, but now I see. Amen? When you go through those things in life, you're like, thank you, Lord. That was very tough on me, and I didn't know how I was going to make it. That was the most difficult financial season in my life, and I didn't know how I was going to make it, but with my own mouth, I speak blessings and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. When I was in my most troubling time of death and sickness and different things and heartache and financial problems, but yet, Lord, you brought me through those things. And when you and I and the people around us would start to see and have our eyes, the scales come off, and all of a sudden it renews us to like, it's like that aha moment. Amen? And when you get the aha moment, you're like, okay, now I'm gonna apply the word differently. I just grew from that, right? And you know things may have happened, but you're like, man, you just taught me something, Lord. In your own ways, in his own. See, he knows how to get us from where he needs us to be to where he wants us to be. Where we think we should be to where he wants us to be. Where we want to go, but yet he redirects our path in the way that we should go. Amen? Isn't it something? Am I the only one who God has moved? And I mean, I'm here because God is. I mean, it's true. He makes the curve straight. It's true that he fills in the valleys. It's true that he fills in those potholes. It's true that he gets me off the rumble strips. Those rumble strips that are on the outside of his will, where you're in permissive will or free will and his will, and you're like, you're dancing and you feel the rumble strips. Okay, Lord, I'll get back over here. And you come over here and you're like, oh, I feel the rumble strip over here. And I, okay, Lord, I'll get back over here. Amen? And he has a funny way about it. You know, he knows our thoughts. He knows the intentions of our thoughts. He knows our beginning and he knows our end. He knows our beginning. He knows our future. He knows where we'll be. He knows what we think. He knows what we do. He knows what it takes to get us to where he wants us to be. He knows how stubborn we are sometimes. He's an awesome God. He's not this, you know, genie in a bottle when I have a need. Thank you, Jesus. Let me put you back over there. No. He's a God that dwells with us and helps us, encourages us, and sees the problem we have. He knows the hurts that we have. He knows when we slip. He knows our thoughts and intentions of our thoughts. He died for us. He paid the price at Calvary before we were even born. Now that's an awesome God. He died on the cross and shed his blood before we were even born, knowing that we were going to sin, paid the ultimate price, a price we couldn't pay. We couldn't do enough good works. He couldn't do enough things. And he paid that price knowing that someday we would sin, because the Bible says we've all fallen short. And he still provided a way out, that if we would just repent and turn. It's what being a Christian is all about, not just I believe in Jesus. It's about repentance and turning and saying, now I'm going to follow you, Lord. Amen? And in this walk, I think sometimes we learn just how far he wants to take us sometimes. And sometimes, in my mind, I have found myself distracted. This year, I think there's been a lot of distractions put in our path. Amen? So I'm going to read more in this word. I'm going to do a little bit more reading because I want you to hear this and hear what the Word of God is saying, that, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you listen to my voice today over the airways or Facebook, and you hear. Listen to the scriptures today and see if this doesn't apply to your life a little bit, and know that God is still here to help us in our time of need. And we're going to go into Matthew chapter 14. And in Matthew chapter 14, it talks about you know, the time when John the Baptist was beheaded, his time, the feeding of 5,000. And we're going to jump down to the scriptures in Matthew 14 and 22. And those other scriptures are awesome. It's wonderful, but the Lord has me to share this with you today in your walk. In verse 22, I'll begin reading. Are you there? Amen. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. You know, if you've ever felt the Lord moving you in a direction so much, you know, well, God doesn't make us do this, God doesn't make us do that. Well, you know, there's sometimes where you're just so compelled to do something. The word says that he made his disciples get into the boat. So he had a plan and a purpose for them, didn't he? Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Can I encourage you today? The waves are blowing, the things are going on, you're busy. You can't tell me you're not busy today. We are living in 2020 in the day of busyness. Can I encourage you to set some time aside by yourself to pray? If you found yourself so busy that you found yourself to where you've no longer allocated that time to be reading the Word or praying or just listening to the Word. You know, I use the audio Bible a lot. It helps me a great deal, especially when I'm tired at night or my eyes get real tired, and then wearing these silly masks at time, I feel tired sometime. I ask the Lord to help me, and I read the Word, I listen to the Word, or play it in your vehicles. But Jesus gives us an example that he went away to pray. And if he did it, I think we should imitate that. And sometimes we need to go to that closet, that secret place, that time with God. Amen. It is one of the things that I found, that if you found yourself not having that look anymore, or you don't feel that compassion anymore, you don't feel that fire burning in your belly anymore, that river of flowing water, get in your quiet time again and allow God to speak to you as you get to yourself and pray. It says, now when evening came, he was alone there. But in verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, now those of you that have your study Bibles, there's a really interesting thing. I never knew what the fourth watch of the night was. In my Bible study, it says between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Maybe you've been woke up in the middle of the night praying at 3 to 6 a.m. before. You don't know why. You don't have no idea why, but all of a sudden you're just up and you're wide awake. Pray. Someone obviously is in need of prayer. Don't ignore it. Somebody's counting on you. Now on the fourth watch tonight, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. You know, this is some of the basic scriptures that most kids hear, and everybody, I'm sure, knows these scriptures today. We've all heard it for all of our life. Those of us may have heard it younger. I didn't hear it until I was in my 30s, you know. But they saw something that troubled them. They didn't recognize Jesus was walking to them, and they cried out in fear. How many times do we go through life not recognizing God in our life when he's there, and we don't recognize that he's there to help, but we still live in this fear? But yet we know, we proclaim every day that he's there. He walks with us. Where's two or three among you? There he is in the midst. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But yet we fail to recognize in our troubling moment, and we allow fear to get in. And then what's worse is not only do we let it get in, it becomes out of our mouth, because out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. And they cried out in fear. So fear had gotten in their lives. Is it possible that you and I today must guard our hearts and not allow fear to get in? And it reaches us today, even in this simple study that we learned is in Bible school, in Sunday school. But yet, we see things today when we don't recognize God sometimes, and like, why do we fear? If we know he's there, and we know that he'll not leave us nor forsake us, why do we let fear get in? And it is, it's an attack. It comes in. Amen? And I pray that you guard your hearts today, and we have our eyes open and we recognize Jesus in our lives. it will help you moving forward in your walk. In verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Maybe you needed that today. Are you listening to my voice? And God's maybe using me to speak these very words in red that said, be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid. In other words, I got this. In other words, I'm here with you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to go through this situation alone. I'm here. He's confirming his word. He's speaking a word that they didn't see him properly, but maybe that they would hear the words of his voice and be encouraged. Amen? And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Hello? Peter? You got to love Peter. And I'm sorry. I fit right in the camp of Peter. Whenever you see in Peter and John, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just being real. In the Bible, I can relate to Timothy. And I can definitely relate to Peter. Those boys have got my number. Because Peter says, if it's you, Lord, if it's you, what do you mean you're saying, Lord, if it's you? What do you mean, Peter? If it's me. Are you kidding me? You call me Lord, but you don't recognize me. Hello? I hope that's not happened in 2020. You call me Lord, but you don't recognize me. He says, come to me. He says, command me to come to you on the water. Pardon me. Excuse me. So he said, come. That's all he said. He didn't say, come on, Peter, let's go. You know, sometimes when God just says one word to you, that's all you need to walk with. If it only takes one word changes your total direction in life and opens up your eyes and reveals things that you did not see and reveals things that you did not know and you could not hear properly, yet the Lord was there the entire time and he tried to get your eyes up in the right place and to hear, and he says, Peter, come. And if you're listening to my voice today, I believe the Lord's saying that to you. If you proclaim Jesus as Lord, come. If you hear his voice, come. There's no reason for you to stay at home. There's no reason to isolate. Come. Jesus is calling today. Come to me, you who are weary. Come to me. Seek me. What did you hear this morning? Seek me. Come to me. You're tired, you're worried, you're going through a hard time. Come to me. I can feel that right now, that there's some people that need to know that they're welcome here at the river. You're welcome here. Won't you take a step? Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but this messes with me. Jesus gave him a word. And I don't know about you. I have, those of you know, I have a boat. It's a nice boat. It's stable. I can walk all the way around the edges of this boat. It doesn't tip. Now, I've had those boats where you get in it, you know, and me and Pastor know about those boats that, down south, where they, you just even go to step in them things, and they're rocking all about. I mean, it's just like, hang on. My boat's not like that. You get in that thing, it's just a tchoom. And it would be very challenging for me to get out of a perfectly safe boat. Now, if my boat's rocking and full of water, I got it. I might as well swim. But a perfectly good boat. And Jesus gets a hold of Peter and says, I'm going to get you out of your comfort zone. How many times do you and I, when God is pulling on us and it takes the word and the challenge, I'm going to move you from this position to another, right here, up here. And I'm like, okay. And you get to that point where like, do I trust him? He's been with me. Do I trust him to step out of my comfort zone enough to go witness? Do I trust him enough to stand in this pulpit? To get on the radio or on TV? Or am I insecure still about who I am? Or is God working on me to have great faith that if I rely on him, that he give me the words to say? That he touched my tongue, that I can't help but speak about Jesus. Amen? He says, come down out of the boat. And he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Praise God. Amen? How many of you tried walking on the water recently? I find it best in December, January, and February. Then it's okay for me. It doesn't work too well off my pier. Yeah, you got that, right? Oh, there you go. There you go. We're all in it now. If you're in northern Indiana, you can walk. I'm somebody. I got 8 inches of ice. I'm somebody. Walk. I'm walking. Oh, that's easy then. Peter walked on the water. He was doing what Jesus did. And then, in the great verse of chapter 14, verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Are you here? How many of us have been walking for Jesus? We're on track. We're doing what Jesus did, right? Jesus walked on the water. Jesus spoke. We pray. We seek. We right? And we're doing what Jesus would do. But then something happens in our life and gets us off course and can happen to every one of us that messes with our faith. And look what happened. The wind blew and he let fear in. He was afraid. And that fear messes up your faith. It creates doubt and messes up your faith. And look what happens. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Now, there's a whole message right here. Because look, at least he allowed fear to come in, but at least he recognized that he's got to get right with Jesus. He's got to get back with Jesus. And as he began to sink, in other words, he didn't wait till he was floundering around and broke, busted, and disgusted. He didn't wait till he was on, come on, going down. You know, help me, you know. He cried out for help when he knew he was getting into trouble. Oh, that we would understand that when we get in trouble, that we would first call upon Jesus. That was what he did, didn't he? Isn't that awesome? That this would be an example, though some of us saw it in Sunday school, but yet we would be that Peter, though he walked with Jesus, he walked on the water, he allowed fear to get in, but yet when he got in trouble, he got his eyes up on the Lord, and he cried out to Jesus, saying, Lord, save me. Oh, if I could tell you that today. Lord, save me. I wish I could persuade some people that would change this, I just believe in Jesus, to, Lord, save me, a sinner. I know I've done wrong. I know I've allowed fear to get in. I know that I've not walked with you all the time, Peter. I stepped out of the boat. I did things I was so uncomfortable with. I walked with you, Jesus, and then I allowed the storms and the waves and the things to mess me up and get my eyes off Jesus. And now I want to encourage you and persuade you to call upon him once again. Get back right with God. Get renewed. Those words, if we could get Jesus as Lord, Lord, save me. Instead of this, I'm all right. I really didn't do anything wrong. It really wasn't that big a deal. God is a God of love. No, it's time that we get right and we say, Lord, forgive me. I messed up. That's me. And my list is long. Praise God for his mercy and his grace. Because I fall in the footsteps of Peter. I failed him. I've allowed the things in my life to stir me and get and allow fear in. And we've got to guard ourselves, Christians, to not allow fear to come in. And if I'm talking to you today, know that this guy's had to go through this. And this guy's had to get in the scriptures and call upon Jesus and get my eyes on him and say, Lord, save me, forgive me, make me anew, create in me a pure heart, and renew me in that steadfast spirit that I don't allow fear to come in anymore. You see, because as a new Christian, we're going to stumble. As we learn this word, there's stuff in here that I'm still learning that when I read it, I'm like, ouch, Lord. Right? Because you don't, at day one, you don't know the whole Bible. But as you learn it, you reveal things that are displeasing to God. Hello? You learn of the things that does please God. Amen? He says, Lord, save me. And immediately, somebody say immediately. So, you know what that's saying? If he did it for Peter, he can do it for you. Amen. If you call to him and seek him with a pure heart and call upon his name to save you and rescue you from a situation, from your sins, from whatever it is, immediately he responds because the word says that immediately Jesus stretched out his hand. In other words, you and I might sit here and go, Peter, you need to learn a few lessons. I'm going to let you take a few drinks of water. That's never been in anybody's heart, is it? Where we lack the compassion, we go, yeah, I saw you doing that. You know what? Why don't you just swim there for a little bit? Why don't you take on and struggle a little bit? I see what you did, and you just need to let a few life's lessons of the school of hard knocks. You know what? Jesus didn't do that. You know, I may have done that sometimes. That may have come out of my mouth, that maybe they just need to learn a few lessons. Lord, forgive me. Because we need to be like Jesus says, hey, if they're struggling, right here. Right here. Because you know what? If not, we risk the religious folk of the priest and the Levite that looked at the man in the ditch and said, yeah, some other time. Because the Samaritan said, come on, I'll help you. I'll help you. You're calling out. You're crying for help. The river will help you. We'll do what we can to help you. We don't have all the answers. We have Jesus. Everybody's looking for all the answers. It's like, well, you just sound like you're contradicting yourself. Well, because you're looking for all kinds of other answers, and the real answer, the real truth is Jesus. That when you put your life in his hands, amen, church? Things just seem to happen. Things just work out for you. Will you go through things? Yeah, but he's your keeper. He's your helper. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Aren't you glad that Jesus caught you in your time of need? That things didn't get so bad that he pulled you up out of the mess, pulled your feet out of that miry clay and put your feet on a rock. Amen? Verse 31 says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, I think there's a deeper lesson here because I think fear breeds doubt. Because he says, why did you doubt? Well, he didn't doubt until fear got in. Hello? Did I need to say that again? He didn't doubt until he saw all the stuff. Fear come in, then doubt come in, faith goes out the window. And then what happened? He began to sink. just like you and I, we will begin to sink. We will lose that look. We will lose that fire. We will lose that spark, that unction when we begin to sink, but we need to get back with Jesus. Amen. Oh, of you little faith, why did you doubt? I don't know, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. And as you forgive me, help me that I not doubt again. Amen? Right? What are you going to do? The Lord saves you. Lord, forgive me. I repent. Create in me a pure heart. Help me, Lord, and help my unbelief. Help me to not allow fear, not allow my eyes to see these things. Help me to get my eyes above those things so I no longer fear. Amen? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. You know, I always thought about this. You know, it's one thing. Have you ever thought about this? I don't know why the Lord gives me these things. You know, Jesus not only is your helper, he can help you up out of what you're in. He was standing on the water, so not only he could stand on the water, but he had enough authority and power to stand on the water and still hold up you. You ever tried to pull someone up off of a pier or off into the boat? Amen? You ever tried to help someone get up out of the beach or whatever? And you need strength to hold your weight and their weight too? Jesus can handle your weight too. Amen? So you think your problems are so big and it's so bad? Let me tell you, Jesus is the way maker. He's the name above every name. He's the name above every problem. And he can handle the weight that you give him, but you got to give it to him. The Bible says, cast all your cares onto him, for he cares for you. You got to give him the whole bag of bricks if you want to see him pull you out of your mess. Ha! Oh, thank you, Jesus. And look what it says. When those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You know, sometimes we're an example more than we want to be an example. Sometimes I'm way more transparent than I want to be. But I pray to God that my walk in life, and as I'm transparent in my walk, that you would be encouraged and blessed to know what he did for me, he can do for you. Because I can put my name in this scriptures right here. And I pray that those of you around me would worship him and lift up your eyes. Because you can't worship like, when you worship, you're like this. Amen? Where are your eyes? When you praise, when you worship those around him, when they see, when people see God bring you out of your mess. Amen? When we've all, listen, every one of us should be praising God is when we see someone who's being drawn back to God and their relationship is being stronger and people are coming back to church. We should be all worshiping and praising God for what he's done. Amen? Amen? He's an awesome God. He's a powerful God. He says in verse 34, when they had crossed over. You see, it's time, my friends, that we cross over from that life of fear and doubt to life and faith and love and praise and worship. Are you here with me? This is all fruit when you made that decision, when you living for the Lord. They said they came to the land of Gennesaret, and when the man of that place recognized him, are you here? And when, I need to say that again, and when, in verse 35, the men of that place recognized him. It's time that we recognize that Jesus is right here in our midst. We recognize that if you're going through things, that you recognize today that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus has not left you, he'll never forsake you. It says, they sent out into all the surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick. Do we recognize Jesus today? It's time to go get those that are sick. I talked about letting your faith, sharing your faith, let your faith shine. If you recognize Jesus today, recognize who the healer is, that they may be saved, that they may be rescued. And it's time that we, church, go get them. It's when we go to a nursing home and we pray that we're going out into the world, we're bringing Jesus with us. When we're going into different places and we recognize him is capitalized. Do you recognize the Lord today? Because I recognize the Lord's here today. And the Lord showed up in this place today. And the Lord is in your hearts today. And the Lord has blessed you today. And the Lord is blessing your lives. And I pray that you recognize him more than you recognize your problems. They brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. Do you need a touch today? I found myself, it's not Wednesday or Sunday, and I just need a touch from the Lord. I couldn't wait till Wednesday or Sunday. Hello? That's why we're available. We'll pray for you. We'll believe you. We get prayer requests all the time, and it's an honor that we get to pray with people. Amen? And people are like, well, I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to disturb you. It's an honor to get to pray with somebody. That someone would have the trust and faith that they know that we will agree with them in prayer. Begged them that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. And as I close, I want to encourage you today. If you have a need, you have a problem, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is there. Jesus is the way maker. And I want to encourage you to just reach out to touch him. Peter was in a tough spot, but yet he reached out to get a touch from the Lord. He could have cried out to all the people in the boat. He could have cried to everyone else. He could have done all the, where's my life preserver? All these things. But he cried out to Jesus. And in the things of this world, and the people that are going on in this world, and all the trouble in this world, can I encourage you today and persuade you to just try to reach out to him? Because he's there. His word says, immediately. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So if you have a need today, I want to encourage you to reach out to the Lord today. Be encouraged. Amen? And know that God is still the healer. He's still the helper. But we have a responsibility to seek after him. Amen? Just like David said. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. He was seeking after God. And renew me that steadfast spirit. Renew my health. Renew my finances. Renew my home. Renew my marriage. Renew my job. Whatever it is, renew once again. And I pray today that you listen to my voice, would seek the Lord today to renew your relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray that I've been able to say something to each one of you, that we'd be encouraged and grow in our walk today, that we would seek after Jesus, no matter what the storms are blowing, no matter what life we're living, but yet we would be ones seeking hard after God. God bless you. We'll see you here at the river Wednesday. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.